Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, this is part two of a chat about humour with Chris DiStefano and Lindsay Kane. So, you've got two daughters.
I do.
How old are they?
7 and 1.
Right, so my daughter's 7. Bro, we need to become best friends immediately.
That's what I've been trying to do since 2012.
I wonder why you
remember. I had to get Lindsay involved.
I didn't know that was you masturbating in my back garden.
That was me.
Strange. I'm so sorry. Yes. I wouldn't have called the police. No, but we've both got 7-year-olds. So, we've got skin in the game now. Is humour innate? And is it moulded? Because I swear I've got one of the funniest little girls on the planet.
I bet you do.
And it breaks my heart that it's going to be societied and patriarchied out of her when she's a teenager and she's going to suppress it. I don't want that to happen.
I don't think that it will, because here's why I genuinely believe that it is in the DNA. Humor's passed down person to person. My daughter, the older one, when she was 3, you know, she was in a preschool. And, you know, the teacher of the preschool was a teacher there for 20 years. And I go to pick up my daughter one day and the teacher says, you know, I see the kids always have the same jokes. They're flicking boogers. They're doing the same pranks. She was like, your daughter did something that I've never seen in all my years of teaching. I was like, what'd she do? And she was like, she went into the closet and she started putting on her coat and all the kids' coats and started walking around with everybody's coat. Just walk around with everybody's coat. And I was like, oh my God, hilarious, right? So whatever. So I'm like, good bit, whatever. And then go take her to my mom's house later on that night. And I'm telling my mom, I'm like, Mom, Delilah, the teacher told me, like, she just did this bit where she went in to the closet and started putting on everyone's coats. And my mom was like, oh my God, how funny. And I said, yeah. And she comes out of the back room, my mom, with a picture of me at 3 years old putting on everyone's coats in the preschool.
Way.
That
so weird.
She didn't remember my mom that story until it came back. Of course, I was 3, I didn't remember. And they have actual photo evidence of me
so
with all
weird.
the same bit.
Yeah, that's the first time I've ever heard a routine being transmitted through sperm.
That's
that
it.
Really
yeah.
weird.
Yeah.
How strong is
she
is
stealing
a routine?
My jokes?
It's actually in a sperm. So if you zoomed in, there's like a sperm with like 3 outer coats on. It's a 3-tailed sperm.
Yeah.
God,
so
like,
that was mind blowing.
I feel like when I heard, I got like chills when I was like, oh my God. Like, so that means parts of my brain were just passed on
that
through my
terrifying.
Sperm. Look at how little my brain is.
I know.
So is Jasmine, you missed it, is she like terrified at the thought of, what's your little girl called?
Delilah.
Is she, Delilah going into that world?
No, Delilah is very much, here's the thing with her. I do feel like we give Delilah like a bit of leeway. I don't want to stifle her creativity at all. I know if she has my brain, I know how hard it is to with the ADHD to keep thoughts and you creative and you're always thinking of stuff. So I don't, my mother would try to, because my mother's a very conservative religious woman, so I was very like in a box and I kept trying to like get out. It was like tough. Where her, I'm wanting to be, let her be free, let her breathe. But the consequence of that is it comes, you know, she gets in trouble a lot. At times, like, isn't the best student because it's hard for her to focus. But for me, not everything is reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Yeah.
It's like there's more to a person. And, you know, the school she's in, I have to say the teachers are pretty cool where they're allowing her to be her as well. Because, yes, maybe she's not the best student and she gets in trouble a lot, but she makes all the kids laugh, all her friends, like she's all-girls school, they all want to do the play dates with Delilah. Everybody wants to hang out
like
with Delilah.
Daughter.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Are you in New York at Christmas? We need that.
I believe it.
That's a play date that's going to have to happen.
So
seriously.
You're going to have to see the British version of your
So our little girl came back the other day and she had a letter and they all had to write a sentence on each sort of the friend's thing of the favourite thing about each other.
Yeah.
And what was it? It was terrifying, wasn't it? Like Minna's sense of humour, Minna makes me laugh.
Everyone
so
had to anonymously write a compliment. So you had a list of compliments.
Right.
So you would hope.
It's terrifying.
that your sheet would say, yeah, Chris is kind, Chris is funny, Chris is this. Chris. And Minna's was just Minna's funny, Minna's humorous, Minna's funny, Minna's funny.
Minna makes me laugh. It's terrifying.
Amazing. Let's move on to the workplace. Let's try, if we can, we don't want our listeners to think this is like a podcast about comedy. It is about humour, and we're comedians. So we are trying, but it's tempting to talk about stand-up. Right. Just talk about being at work generally. I'm sure you've worked loads of other jobs, sure. Just like I have. And so is Lindsay. How important is humour at work, Lindsay? And do you think some of the sexist ways women are held back at work is because men use humour so much more aggressively at work?
I think I stayed in a job once for much longer than I should have because of the work. People were so funny. Yeah. I had a really good few like work pals that just made the days go so quick. Just constantly laughing, like crying with laughing, like laughter every day. So I think it's really important because it can make a shit job go quickly.
Well, I think memes now too, right? I mean, people passing around memes all the time at work. I mean, that's literally how people must get through their day if they're working in a cubicle 9 to 5. Ordinary job that they probably don't like, and they're using it as a step stool to get to something else. They probably get to life with memes. Yeah. Memes and podcasts. I feel like that's what they do. They're listening. It's just passing the time.
Yeah.
You know? I agree. I've definitely stayed at jobs. I used to be a ball boy for the US Open tennis, which is like, you wouldn't be doing that job in your mid-20s because that's like a kid's job, but I just stayed on till I was like 36 because it was so fun to just be, I just look like a
really massive ball.
Yeah, like a big
same
special
shorts.
Needs ball boy.
Just running. Like nuts hanging out the side of your boy shorts.
Yeah, but I think, I'm sure, you know, the people who listen to this podcast, they're probably listening at work right now, and it's like you're helping them through their day.
But what, say again, we're going to have to be uncomfortably focused on gender difference to try and get to,
that's what
because
I'm here to talk about.
We might be able to call bullshit on some of it, but you could argue that when men use humor at work, a guy who's senior who's a high achiever but using humor, he's like, oh my god, he's so funny. But if a woman tries to use humor, she's seen as a less serious professional.
Yeah,
that can be the case.
Oh, right.
I think it's changing. I mean? Now I think it's like for us, like with Minna, our little girl, we always try and teach her to like find the funny in everything, like you know, just when shit hits the fan or something doesn't go right, just try and find the funny in it.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, if a female CEO ripped open her top, poured a Sambuca and went, my tits are on fire, would she still be taking it seriously on Monday? Whereas if the male CEO did it was so nice seeing Dave set his chest off. Like, what a fucking actual geezer.
No, I do agree.
Do you see
with
what
that.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah. A woman would definitely be...
The consequence of that is lower down the food chain in the office.
Right.
I believe men use humour to advance running jokes, some of them questionable, some of them sexy. They use it like a currency to build friendships.
See, I do think, though, you know, our daughters and this generation, it's changing. So, like, I think the 60-year-old guy in the corporate world would, be put off by the very funny female CEO, where I think the 25-year-old guy in the corporate world would love the funny CEO, because that's how we're being raised in a different... So I think we get, as a society, very much like, things need to change right now. It's like, no. We've evolving over hundreds of thousands of millions of years. So it's I do think, though, we're at like this point now where it's like, our kids are going to grow up in a very different world where so many more things are okay. You know, that question is more like, older people, and don't try to change an old man or an old woman's mind. Why? Let them live. They're going to die soon.
I also think that women are more likely to go with someone who isn't as attractive in looks. I'm not talking about you.
We're ugly guys covered in pussy because we're funny.
I'm talking about other friends. They're more likely to go with men if they're funny.
Oh, what's this other girl's name? Lindsay. It's spelled with a different letter.
Shut up. But anyway, more so than men would go with a woman. I think that men would go more for looks than humour in a woman.
It's a good thought experiment. It doesn't reflect well on men, but you know. If I've always said, if you're a really attractive guy, we have this program called Love Island here. I think you've got it in the USA as well. Yeah. And it's always the most attractive guy initially gets the girls. But if he's a bell end, which is, you have that phrase in the US.
No, it means like a dummy?
A dick.
Merch.
Bell, it's the shape of the penis. The end looks like a bell.
Oh, nice.
Bell end.
Nice.
So
if
the guy's a bell end, he's dumped within 2 days.
Okay.
Do you see what I mean? It's like, I don't care how attractive he is, I'm worth more than that. He's a cheating pig, he's a psychopath, I saw him torturing animals. Whereas a guy would be, after 6 months of dating a woman that looked like a goddess, she is a psychopath, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to shag her outside instead.
Right.
Than in the house.
Well, I read a book once that It was all about nature. It's called Sapiens. You ever read Sapiens?
Yes, I loved it.
So Sapiens, great book. So that author, the things that he was trying to put forth were just simple, like forget about the, you know, what's politically correct, all these things. Just like take it from biological, like the man, we have, even the way our organs are, our you know, genitalia is to spread the seed. And yep. So we're looking for...
On a premiering curtain sometimes.
That's it, baby. That's what I did. Yeah, that's what I did last time I was here in 2012.
We're still loaded. Stuck to this day. That's yeah. Such a powerful force.
So we look for, all subconsciously, like a beautiful woman with, you know, the boobs and the hips and the butt, is because what we're really seeing is our baby's going to have milk and a head to rest on and an easy birthing canal, and the baby's going to survive, and we're going to have good-looking children that will have a better chance to get food out in the wild. And then women look at men where they're like, your genitalia is such a weird word. Genitalia.
And it's coming to your face as well.
Okay. Hi, yeah, coming onto your tongue.
Hi, I'm Jenny Taylor.
Yeah, no, it comes in. Your vagina is made to get it in and then keep
just
it in.
Again. I'm nearly there.
To keep it in and procreate with one person. Because, you know, if there was 30 men left in the world and one woman.
We've all downloaded that video.
Yeah, you're done. But 30 women and one guy, you can... procreate, you can push the population forward. So it's just like it's a thing. And then women, you're looking for a man. You don't care much about the looks. You're looking for smart, because you need a guy who's cunning, all deep in the subconscious Neanderthal brain. You need a man who's cunning out there, who knows how to find the food, and a smart man can club the animals and make a fire. You don't care as much about looks. You're like, my baby needs to eat, I need to eat.
Someone's been gigging in Watford.
Yeah. But I think as well, like a lot of men think that, you know, like if the hair's thinning, like they worry about that, and it's like women aren't necessarily bothered about that. Like I mean, look at, what's he called, Jason Statham? He's got the most beautiful girl in the world, and it's like, it's not about that, it's about being, I think it's like humor is the...
I know. I remember once, like, I literally felt like the fattest piece. I just had a nice fat month. Like, it just felt like a fat piece of shit. And I was in our pool with just full tits out. And I literally was getting into the pool like this because I was, like, embarrassed for Jasmine to, like, see me. And she's like, what the fuck are you doing? And I was like, I just look like shit. I feel like I look like shit. She was like, I don't give a fuck at all. Like, what are you talking about? So what? And I was like, yeah, I look like shit. And anyway, I'm like, and Jasmine doesn't really, you know, she's like, you know, she's very, very sexual, but she doesn't ever really like just be like, we need to have sex right now. So I then just forgot about it. I felt like just a fat, you know, I'm just eating burgers in the pool, dying. But my kids were in the pool, and I'm throwing them in the pool, like just picking up, throwing them, all laughing, throwing everybody, whatever. And then I get out of the pool, and she's like, oh, Chris, can you come in here for a second? Can you help me with this? And then she pulled me right into the bathroom and just started having sex, because she was like, and after we finished, I was like, what the hell was that about? She was like, it was so hot that you were just throwing our children in the pool. I loved like what a man you were. And so, I was like, you're a man with tits. I was like, I'm trans.
How many times did you throw your child before she banged you in the bathroom?
Yeah.
Is it seven?
Yeah, seven times. Two concussions. Cool. Yes.
Just make a note of that for later.
Later.
For nice bathroom sex.
Yeah. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
We've already touched on this with our career, but I want to sort of expand it into a more societal level. Social media has democratized everything, right? You look at the Arab Spring and those countries finding their democratic voice. You look at it, you want to talk about the trans debate or race, people have got voices. We're hearing more voices from more people.
Yes.
I believe it's done the same with humor. Right? Humor has become more diffuse.
Right.
We're exposed to more types of humor, and it's given equal weight. It's not just what old white guys who make the TV programs think is funny.
Right.
It goes out, fired out into space, and we all democratically either laugh and click or we don't.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is like, it's like a drug. Our brains want results quick, and nothing in the internet, you know, with these memes, with these, you know, edited 1 minute videos that make us die laughing. It's very hard then for you to go sit down and watch an hour of stand-up comedy. True. Where you're like, yeah, but you're not as funny as the meme. Yeah, I want you to be funny like the meme. That's why me personally, I've started to say I'm putting less of my stand-up on the internet, because I'm like, I want to get you to my show from the stuff that I've edited and the memes I've created and all that. And then my live show is like an experience. I'm not going to let you see it at all.
Yeah.
I used to be the opposite.
I'm the same.
Yeah, because I was like,
stand-up clips,
and you know what actually has been the most helpful thing in my, I know this isn't necessarily about humor, but just like a life thing. I'm on social media, my presence is there, but I don't run it at all.
Really?
I don't even have access to my Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. I'm posting every day, I think, and I'm approving and texting the guy who runs it, hey, say this, say that, because the literal, like, it was the imbalance that I had as a human being. You know, people always talk about the negative comments, how, you know, even as thick skin as we are as comics, a couple of negative comments get through, it hurts us, where you're like, oh shit, maybe I'm not that funny, maybe I am a hack, maybe I do look fat on stage, it's just whatever, my head's big.
Give me a kid.
I'm
being so tough in the bathroom.
And so everybody knows about that. But what I also found just from, you know, not being on it these last few months is the positive comments throw you off too. Our brains are not designed to have thousands of people saying they like us or they hate us. Our brains are still village brains. We were like, we are only supposed to know the people in our town. We can't take all this in.
Another great book, by the way, The Village Effect. I don't know if you're referring to that or if you've
read it. No, I never
read it. Susan Pinker, related to Steven Pinker, the other brain book. Brilliant book. It's all about that. The neurology of why we're village brains.
I'm going to read that, because I see it now, just like feeling it. I'm like, wow, every relationship in my life has improved, from Jasmine to my parents to my kids to my friends. I was locked out of my Instagram. This is how this all came about a few months ago. So we had to go, like, you know, call my agent and like get to like the high ups of Instagram, like pull favors. And I had to do things because I was locked out and I was thinking, oh, my career is going to die.
Are you hacked or something?
Whatever. And so anyway, we get to the, you know, a top guy at Instagram. They, of course, give us the password, get us in. And then I said, I was on the guy who runs my Instagram was on the phone with us. And I said, Brian, to the Instagram guy, I said, you know, Brian's going to take over from here. He's running my stuff. And he was like, that's very smart of you. And I was like, yeah, I was like, I just don't want to deal with the emotions of Instagram. He goes, no, he goes, I mean, it's very smart that you as a human being are not seeing that. He said, we've done a private study in Meta, you know, whatever the new Facebook, Instagram thing is now. He was like, we've done a private study that said people who have over just 20,000 followers, Instagram adversely affects them, and they think it's like directly tied into suicide and depression because you're having too much information and too many people having an opinion on you. So now I've made a deal with myself where I say, I only care about the opinions of the people who are in the room with me at the moment or my friends and family who I've known. I don't care at all what an opinion of some fan that I've never met is, because I can't. And the same way with how I feel about people, like I don't have an opinion on someone I've never met. Like I don't know actually how Joe Biden is, or I have no idea because I just see edited clips of him. I don't know the human being. And that's really helped me to just make my life so small.
I think and everyone listening to this could do that.
Yeah.
Because everyone has social media.
I've made it small but when you watch the news or when you're on social media, they want you to take in every problem all over the world.
Yeah.
Like just teaching our kids to be kindness to every race, religion, culture, creed, and be good humans isn't enough. They're like, you need to go out there and you know, fix the problems in Australia. It's like, I can't. Mm. And but you get sucked in. I feel like especially our youth get sucked in to this. And that's why they have these suicide rates and these depression. And they want to do radical changes because their brain chemistry is all messed up. Where I see now, also, I don't compare myself to my peers anymore. So I would have said, like last night, I'm proud of myself for I sold like over 1,000 tickets last night in a foreign country. But I would have, if I was on social media, been like, well, you know, my other peer sold 5,000, you know, yeah. and I guess I suck. And then it's like, no. Now I have no idea. I could have, one of my friends could be here. I have no idea if they could be selling out the O2. I don't know. Because me, I just deal with my world where I'm like, I'm proud of myself for my accomplishments. I'm only comparing me to me. And it was very difficult for me to do that while I was on social media. I understand the business of it, why we need it. I need to sell tickets. So my presence is there, but I don't run it anymore. The guy that does is the one who'll commit suicide.
And I never knew that, because obviously I see all your stuff. So I assume that you're posting and really active. So yeah. I would never know that disconnect.
Yeah, I know. Some
that.
Of my friends too, like, or like, you know, people that I know, like in the business, be like, are you mad at me? They'll text me and be like, are you mad at me? I'm like, why? They're like, I've sent you like 10 DMs and you don't open them. I'm like, oh yeah, I have no access to my social media. And they're like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah, the other guy, Brian, who runs it, is mad at you.
I think I've just been inspired to change part of my life.
That's it.
None of us have careers in a year. We totally fucked ourselves.
You'll be getting an invoice from for lost earnings.
Do you think your life has changed? Like, do you think you're more successful in other areas because of that?
I think I'm more successful in other areas, and I think I'm more successful in my own career this way, because I'm literally just trusting my gut. And we've always trust our gut, but sometimes subconsciously our gut is influenced by these outside opinions, and I have very minimal outside opinions now. I have a very small group of people that I speak to, and so my gut typically is really actually what I want, because it's less and less influence. And the relation, you know, Jasmine and I's relationship was at times on the rocks, just as a few months ago. But since the social media has been gone, first of all, there's like a huge amount of trust now, because I think that she always thought, if he's on the road, I know that all these girls have a chance to get to him if he's checking the DMs. And now that they have no access to me, it's not even that she has this ownership of me. It's like, I know that when you limit the temptations and sometimes I feel when you have so many choices, like a variety of choices, you can't make a choice. You're paralyzed. You're actually in prison. You think you're free. You're in prison with so many choices.
It's like when you go to a restaurant and there's three main courses. You're like, oh, thank fuck.
You're like,
which one. There's five pages of stuff. And I'll just go out hungry.
And so now I realize, like even last night, right? Typically, if I had social media, you know, I'm in London, whatever, I would look immediately for, you know, did I get adoration? Did I get hate? Did a girl message me? Do people want to hang out? Do guys want to hang out with me? Do girls want to hang out? Do this, that? And there's all, even if I chose to do none of it, the anxiety was crippling and it's subconscious and you don't even know about it until it's gone. But last night, no access to anything. Went with James, went with the other promoter on the show, and we just had like a meal and beers. And I was back in my hotel happy at midnight and felt like I live London. I lived the show and I felt great. I woke up this morning and got to FaceTime my kids, where social media, I might have been out till 6 a.m., made a huge mistake, had to fucking try to cover it up now, did something I wasn't supposed to do, and I don't live like that anymore. And I realized like my anxiety is like almost zero now.
Incredible. I mean, one last question. Yeah. I don't linger too much. Lindsay, I want your opinion on this, because we spoke to a musician I think it was Tom Grennan on a previous episode, and he said social media, whether we're on it or not, has started to change how music is made. Like a lot of people want songs that are, you know, TikTok length.
Sure.
Yeah. And I'm wondering whether it's having an effect on humor as well.
Sure.
The people in the audience, as the old people stop coming to the theatre and they're replaced with younger people,
right?
They're going to be expecting shorter, punchier routines. I'm wondering whether in our social lives,
it's about the concentration, isn't it? Like,
you know, a family story. If someone sits down to tell a funny story and it starts too long, you're like, I'll get to the point.
But yeah, but you're the worst one for that.
I know.
Like, come on, what is it? Get to the punchline. Yeah. Well, I definitely agree with that. I think, like, we watched a Stuart Lee thing yesterday, and it takes a long time to get going. And I think probably the younger generation will be like, come on, get to it. Yeah, and they just haven't got that attention span to focus and listen to everything. And the pauses that make a joke sometimes, I think.
Do you think eventually me and you will just be like a gif like that on stage?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God! That, did you see Chrissy's gift?
Yeah.
It was so perfect. Such even strokes. 5 stars.
100%. That'll be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm hoping for.
Then we can go for dinner with a promoter having gift.
I want to be connected to you forever in the metaverse.
Guys, I think we are out of time there. I mean, that was absolutely superb. Thank you so much for joining us, taking time out of your busy schedule. Lindsay Kane, for being our lady auditor. Chris DiStefano, I have to say it with an American accent, otherwise I say Chris DiStefano.
Yeah.
Right to the very end. But yeah. Chris DiStefano, get it done early in the word.
Chrissy Freedom.
Yeah. I'm just Chrissy DCD. Pop me in, play me.
Yes.
So thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
I know there are no tickets left, but I'm sure people can contact venues for returns. As annoyingly, that happens to me. So sometimes you get a handful on the night. Just go to Netflix.
My special's called Speshy Weshy on Netflix.
Is it?
Yeah.
Fucking excellent.
Yeah, I'm a dummy.
That was a short brainstorm.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. That was quick. Yeah, that was like, we need the title.
No, Speshy Weshy. Lunch?
Yeah.
I'm in Russell Cade. If you've come here as fans of either of these two, highly likely today, and you're wondering who the hell I am, do hang around. Please leave some comments and reviews. Nice ones, though, because we know Chris obsessively checks your social media.
Mm-hmm.
And hit subscribe. Do hang around, because we might have commitment issues in other parts of our lives with podcasts. Fuck that. You're never leaving me. Speak to you next time. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.